Welcome back to the McAdoo Studios. Kyle Bailey, still joined by Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. Follow him on Twitter at ChrisColemanTSL. And, well, if his counterpart was here, Will Stewart. You can follow Will on Stewart on Twitter, and you probably still should. Will Stewart, TSL. Basketball news, anything of note here? I mean, it's pretty quiet over there right now.
I think we're just waiting to figure out where Ty Outlaw is going, right?
Yeah, what's the update there? There was a report, I guess several weeks ago that he had committed to Virginia Tech. That turned out to be erroneous,
well,
right?
If you read his Instagram, where his high school coach congratulated him on committing to Virginia Tech.
Oh.
And he said, thanks, coach. And then his Instagram profile, it was changed from North Carolina to, where does he play? I think does he play in Texas? Or
yeah,
somewhere
I think
like
so.
That?
It sounds
from
right.
From North Carolina to Texas to Virginia. Like he had committed to Virginia Tech. But all of a sudden, all that stuff got taken off. I think what he's doing is, I think he's probably taking an extra class.
Oh.
And I don't think they want it out there yet. And if he passes the class, then he comes to Virginia Tech.
Then he qualifies.
Okay. I think it's all coming down to, and I don't think he's going to have an issue passing the class. I just think he
takes some time. Right.
He just has to get the credits in. You go to UNC Greensboro, and then you go to a junior college, and now you're transferring to Virginia Tech. That's three schools in 3 years. I mean, it's easy for the transcripts to get out of whack.
Speaking of qualifying in classes, I'll get back to basketball in a second, but Tim Settle, there was not much optimism surrounding him qualifying at first, but now it sounds like it's going to be really close. Is that right?
That's what it sounds like to me. He seems to be gaining momentum.
That's good.
Yeah, it is good.
And not just for football, but just for the kid. That's great.
Oh, yeah, it is. He's worked really hard at it. He's one of those guys, and you see a lot of guys that they don't recognize the value of an education, so they just screw around their first couple of years of high school.
Uh-huh.
And then they figure out, oh, man, I'm about to get a bunch of football offers. I better turn it on.
Well, and sometimes it's too late.
Sometimes it's too late. I mean, you can have great grades as a senior, but if you didn't do anything your first couple of years, then you're really going to limit your options to where you can go to college. But it's good to see him turning it up a notch. Tim's a real nice kid from what I can gather. I think he's a big-time defensive tackle if he can keep his weight manageable. So,
he's a big kid.
Oh, he's huge.
When he committed, I remember seeing an article that had him listed at 349.
I've seen it anywhere from 310 to 350.
Yeah.
I'm guessing he's probably around 325 or 330. That's what I would guess.
It's a big man.
I'd like to see him drop down to around 315 or so.
Right.
But he's such a naturally big guy. When he gets into that amazing Virginia Tech dining system and Mike Gentry, oh, man, he's going to have to work his tail off. I mean, this guy makes Cordero Thompson look like a little shrimp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a really – and you know what? Like you said, athletic. And I'm not just talking about big and strong, but nimble.
He can run.
And agile.
Yeah, he really is.
Very good footwork.
Remember, originally this guy was a five-star recruit. And
ESPN had him still as a five-star.
Yeah, they don't seem to change their rankings based on whether a kid's going to qualify or not, whereas the recruiting services actually do.
But you know what? I don't get too tied up in recruiting services and rankings because it's just not something I care a whole lot about. But when I see someone drop the kid from five-star to four-star because of his academics are important, more important than football.
Sure.
But you're ranking these kids based on their ability to play football.
Right.
So why are you dropping the kid from a five-star to a four-star because he may have to prep for a year? It doesn't change the fact that he's a game-changing defensive tackle. He just didn't get his grades together in time.
He just didn't get his grades together in time, and he no longer has committable offers to Alabama and LSU and teams like that. I mean, I'm guessing that's why Washington State and Oklahoma State were in his final five. When the guy's got offers from Tennessee and Alabama and everybody,
that's laughable too. Because you're telling me Nick Saban, even if this kid had the prep, this time next year when he's back on the market, Saban wouldn't take this kid.
What I think what it is Alabama's like, okay, we can take this defensive tackle or that defensive tackle. This one's probably not going to qualify.
Yeah.
This one is, so we're not going to bother to recruit him anymore.
Well, it makes sense.
I think that's part of that whole deal.
Yeah. But I guess it's just, to me, it comes down to football merit. Can you play?
Sure.
And if your academics stink, well, that's your problem. Go figure it out. But if you're going to evaluate kids based on their ability to play football, that's what it should be.
You're exactly right. And he's a big timer.
Absolutely.
If he can manage his weight.
So let's go back to basketball for a second.
All right.
I'm going to put you on the spot here, so I apologize in advance. But I get this question from people all the time asking me about Buzz's second season. Opening night, first game, starting five, Who is it?
Oh, good Lord.
Come on now. Now, keep in mind, anyone who's listening, Buzz's starting fives are so fluid.
Yeah.
You know, and they're so much dictated by, you know, the quality of practice that week and matchups and all that sort of thing. But, I mean, I'm still going to put you on the spot.
I would be
here.
Willing to bet that Seth Allen's in the starting
I would
lineup.
Be willing to bet you're correct, yeah. And probably Ahmed Hill, too.
Yeah, because Ahmed plays so hard. All right, I'm going those two. I'm going Bibbs.
Okay.
Center, I'm going to go Satchel Pierce. I think it'll go back and forth between him and Johnny Hamilton all year.
Okay.
But I'm just going to randomly say Satchel Pierce for the first game.
Okay.
What I'm going to be interested to see is what kind of lineup he runs. Is he going to have a traditional power forward? Is he going to go with a small lineup? Because if he goes with a small lineup, then Jalen Hudson or Chris Clark right in there, that they could start in that lineup.
I'm really excited to see what Chris Clark can do.
Yeah,
excited to watch that kid play.
Yeah, me too. I think I'm going to go with Jalen Hudson as my fourth starter.
Yeah.
with a center and then a point guard and then three wings.
What are your thoughts on Johnny Hamilton? How good is he?
I think he's good. I think he's not going to be a great offensive threat. But I think
this year or ever?
Or ever.
Okay.
Ever, probably.
Yeah.
I think he's got some potential there, but he got such a late start on his basketball career. I don't think he started playing until he was 16 years old. But he's a really, really good athlete, a good shot blocker. He's got toughness to him. So basically the things we lack in the post, he brings.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. So
I think Shane Henry, with another year under his belt with Buzz, maybe if he can put on some weight a little bit, I think he could be a nice role player off the bench. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
Yeah, I mean, but you'd have to move him out of the five spot.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. But maybe
you play him 11, 12 minutes a game, but, you know, as a spark off the bench, you know, the athleticism.
Oh, he always plays hard as heck. That's
sure.
What you can say that for Shane. He plays hard as heck, and he never got a chance to defend power forwards instead of centers this past season. And that's not fair to him. That's just where the program was at the time.
And maybe, again, maybe I'm off on that. Maybe I'm seeing something that's not there. But, you know, I you talked about the first three of Allen, Hill, and Bibbs. That's you like that backcourt.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Or you like those three right there. And you got to like Hudson, too. I mean, look, the thing about Hudson is if you get consistent effort.
If Tyrone shows up.
If
Tyrone Hudson shows up.
You can call on Tyrone. Yeah, man. Like, he's really, 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 really talented.
Yeah.
And he's fun to when he is in the zone like that. I mean, I've never had more fun watching a guard play in my life than the night that he dropped 30 on Duke. Never had more fun in my life watching that kid play.
And the ACC tournament game.
Outstanding.
Wake Forest.
Yeah.
That was one of the most dominant performances I've ever seen from a Virginia Tech basketball player.
Yep.
I mean, it was absolutely incredible.
And you got Bibbs now going out to try out for the U19, you know, USA basketball team. That's a big deal.
Get some good coaching. Not that he doesn't get that at Tech, but, you know, he's going to be playing against top-level competition for a while. I don't know whether he'll make the team or not, but it's going to get practice against some high-quality players. That will only help him grow as a player, and I think that starts next week.
Yeah, June 12th.
Yeah.
12th through the 26th. It does. Yeah. It's a two-week thing there. So I think it's going to be good for him. And that's a situation where, you know, look, Hudson gives more consistent effort. Maybe he gets the invite too.
Sure.
You know, because I mean, his best individual performances were better than any of Justin Bibbs' best individual performances.
Oh, he's Hudson is the most talented player on the team. There's no question in my mind. I don't think there's any question in Buzz's mind either. You know, when Buzz first started saying that last year, I'm like,
we just kind of looked at each other.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't really see it.
And what are you talking about?
I thought maybe he was just using that to motivate Hudson. And he probably was, but as it turns out, he's right. Yeah, Jalen's the most talented player on that team. I don't think there's any question.
No. All right, before I let you go, the Merriman Center looks like it might be about to undergo a makeover here, a little bit of a facelift. And I've seen some of these mock-up photos online, but it looks like they're really going to sink some money into this place.
Yeah, you know, if you look around on the internet, you get some time, go around to some of these school sites and click on their facilities page and get some information about their versions of the Merriman Center. And then you'd look at pictures of them and tell me that we're not bland compared to that. Now, the Merriman Center, when it first came out, was brand new, state of the art. It was fantastic. And then, you know, Ole Miss started building their Manning Center in 2004, and they updated it in 2013, and you know, everybody started building a Merriman Center, and they built bigger and shinier Merriman Centers. And, you know, Virginia Tech was has built some great facilities since then, but the one thing they haven't done is update the Merriman Center, and they're finally getting around to it, and I think they're going to do some great things. I bet there's going to be places in there you're not even going to be able to recognize once they're done with it. We don't know a timetable. We don't know how much it's going to cost, but I would venture a guess to say that it'll probably start in the next 6 to 12 months.
And you're talking about a couple million dollars in all likelihood.
Probably, most likely.
And it's a much needed facelift. Let's be honest. It's not a bad facility, but it's not. It's dated.
Yeah.
You know, Bitter and I were joking on Wednesday about like the orange and maroon racing stripes on the walls, you know, in the hallways and the stairwells. I mean, that's something that could probably stand to be updated a little bit. And it's a part of the overall arms race, right?
It is.
People have to walk into your athletics facility and just be blown away.
And then they walk into Ole Miss's or South Carolina's or somebody like that and compare it with the Merriman Center and. You know, it's just not as flashy these days.
No.
It doesn't have the wow factor when you walk in the door anymore. I do think that front lobby is very nice. It's the nicest part about the Merriman Center. But it's still not quite up to date. You know, I was looking at Ole Miss's, and they have like a Hall of Fame room, you know, a Hall of Legends. And it's basically like the Baseball Hall of Fame, you know, which I just went to last week, which was fantastic.
Yeah.
And once when going to that, and I was actually sitting there walking through the Baseball Hall of Fame thinking, man, this is actually what some of these schools their main center looks like, because it's just a big recruiting tool. They want to show recruits all their past greats and their accomplishments and things like that, which is that's what the Baseball Hall of Fame does.
Look,
it's an advertisement for the game.
Tech just had Eric Schmidt from Google here. You know, just hook it up so you have a hologram Michael Vick roaming through the hallways, you know, throwing touchdown passes and flipping into the end zone.
Sure.
You know, have some of those guys running around and have, you know, Deron Washington dunking on dudes while they're walking in the front door. Just hologram stuff.
Oh, and have a picture of Bruce Smith as he's getting the NFL record-setting sack.
Boom, there it is.
Right there on the wall.
Problem solved.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
Yep.
Damn, we're out of time. I could do that all day.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we'll see you next week.
Yeah, buddy.
Chris Coleman, TechSideline.com. Follow him on Twitter at Chris Coleman, TSL. Highly recommend that you do. We'll take a break. We'll come back and wrap up the show here on a Friday. Keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.